rushing back to mix and build with the present. His eyes stayed on hers, watched them flutter closed. But everything showed on her face, her surprise and her pleasure. She couldn't hide from him. He listened to her breath quicken and catch. He buried his face in her neck, not even thinking, just feeling as her body came apart around him. Then they were both coming apart, body and soul. Mia woke in the dark of early morning, alone. The fresh scent of Nick's aftershave wafted to her from the attached bathroom. She'd fallen asleep against him, relaxed and sated, sprawled on top of him. But he wasn't there now, and a sick feeling curled in her stomach. She looked around, in a way feeling like this was where she belonged, yet at the same time, the fact that she'd never been there before said she didn't. Nick's room, his things and his essence surrounded her, dark furniture and shades of blue and gray. She brushed her hand across the sheet where he'd lain next to her, wrapped around her or inside. Did other women know this room? Was there one woman who knew it well? Had she expected to end up here, like this? In his arms, in his bed? Had she wanted to? She closed her eyes and thought of the snow globe and what it meant that Nick had kept it. He'd never been the most open man, the most romantic, but he had his moments, his own way. She stared at the ceiling, wondering if 10 years later his shoulders were still as burdened, or if maybe things could be different. She pressed her nose to the sheets, breathing him in one more time. With hope, she found her clothes and made her way into the kitchen. She found Nick dressed and standing at the kitchen window. Half a coffee pot sat on the counter. "You're up early?" He looked back at her.
"Yeah, sorry if I woke you."
"It's okay." She started toward him, thinking to wrap her arms around him, add to the steps they'd taken last night. But something in his stance stopped her.
"You want coffee?"
"Sure." He got out another mug and poured.
"I have sugar,"
he said, sliding a small plastic container toward her, then getting out a spoon.
"I don't have any cream, just skim milk."
Which she saw was already on the counter. For her, not himself. He was strictly a black coffee drinker. She was touched that he remembered she wasn't. Even so, an uneasiness crept along her neck when he went back to staring out the window. He looked so alone. She sipped and let her gaze follow his. A cardinal sat on the deck railing. He cocked his head, then flew to a low branch on one of the many trees in the yard, then flew again to a farther one. Looking at his profile and the set of his jaw, she doubted Nick even saw the world in front of him. He looked exhausted after a night with her, and not in a good way.
"Do you think she should have taken those college classes?"
he asked suddenly.
"I always wonder, would my parents have let her take those classes?"
His voice was low, distant. As close as they'd been last night, he was gone again. The dark cloud had descended, and she felt even more alone. Nick was still lost and locked away in a past that couldn't be changed. "I don't know," she said softly, and it didn't matter. He set his mug down, cursed.
"She had no business being on that campus. That was my decision."
"Oh, Nick." She shook her head slowly, every bit of hope for them and things being different now slipping away. She couldn't believe what she was hearing, what he was saying. They'd made love all night, and they were still having the same conversation they'd had a decade ago. He was still looking for an answer, a reason, when there was no logical answer, no reason. There was nothing to do but move forward and help Hannah move forward. But he was still in the past, still looking for someone to blame, and as long as he did, there was no future for them. A minute passed, and he finally turned and faced her. He leaned back against the counter, rolled the mug between his palms.
"Does Hannah ever talk to you about what happened?" I know you can't tell me what she says in private. I just wondered if... She told me the other day that I reminded her of it. That she couldn't forget because I was always telling her to be careful.
His eyes met hers, still so troubled, so confused. So much like that 19-year-old boy suddenly thrust into parenthood.
Is that wrong to want to protect her?
No, it's not wrong, she said, sad for him and herself. But you have to know where to draw the line.
I know. I do, but... Hannah dating and then seeing you?
He sighed, stared at his feet several seconds before meeting her eyes again. And you're reminded, she said. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the biggest problem between us. You can't look at me without thinking about that day, that I was supposed to get her and I came back alone. She heard the tears in her voice, felt them trickle down her cheek. She wanted to shake him and hold him, scream at him and kiss him. But he'd never wanted her comfort in the light of day. Just like before, they came together in the dark, then woke to reality. It was on the tip of her tongue to say she was sorry again, but she'd said it 100 times before, and it hadn't mattered. You have to let this go. He turned, his hard eyes meeting hers.
Let it go and forget it?
He didn't raise his voice, but his tone took another slice. No, not forget, but maybe move forward. Live with it.
I am living with it.
He slammed his mug on the counter hard enough she was surprised it didn't break.
I live with it every day.
Was it possible he was even harder now than he'd been when she'd left him? No matter how hard, she would never have left him because of that. Not if she'd been able to breach his impenetrable wall, the fortress complete with razor wire he'd constructed around his heart. The one that had torn at hers every time she tried to climb over. He'd shoved her away, then locked her out. She couldn't do this again. She wouldn't. She felt sick and bit her lip to keep it from trembling. Nothing's changed. Even after last night. Everything about their relationship, their love, reduced to that one day. We could have moved forward together, but you didn't want to. You couldn't see me past your own guilt. You still can't.
And you can?
He straightened from the counter and took one step toward her and stopped.
I'm sorry.
No. You can say it. There's no reason for us not to be honest with each other now. We really can't lose any more than we've already lost, can we? You blamed me. He turned his back to her, and she could see his hands gripping the edge of the sink.
No, I didn't.
You did. I was late. If you think I haven't thought about that, you're wrong. I shouldn't have come last night. She carefully set aside the mug she barely realized she'd been holding. There was nothing else she could do, nothing to say. She took another long look at him, just one more image to add to an already broken heart. She went to his bedroom, got her shoes, then returned for her purse. I have no defenses against you, she whispered sadly. I never did. He spun on her so forcefully she stepped back.
And you think I do? You think you aren't burned in my brain, in my heart? You're there. You've always been there.
She wanted to believe it so badly. She considered grabbing him, taking his mouth with hers, begging him to touch her again like he had last night. But you didn't just have to move on from the past. You had to learn from it. You didn't want me, Nick. You didn't.
I loved you. I was surviving on you.
Maybe, maybe not, she said, countering his storm with calm. She wouldn't yell. She wouldn't fight with him. She didn't have the energy for it. Maybe I was just too much of a reminder. Maybe I still am. She'd been 2 minutes late. In her mind, she knew that was nothing. But in the reality of that particular day, it had been everything. So, we're 10 years later and still in exactly the same place. He shifted on his feet, tilted his head.
And where's that?
She didn't even hesitate. It couldn't hurt any more to say it out loud. Me loving you, you blaming me? But I give up. You've got the past clenched so tightly in your fist, I'll never be enough to make you let it go. I can't go back to that place we were. It nearly killed me. And there was nothing left to say. He was still closed off, his walls up, doors locked. Well, she could damn well close the door, too. She grabbed her purse and slammed that very literal door closed behind her. Chapter 17. 10 years ago. Hey, Mia said, coming into the kitchen from the garage, her arms loaded with bags. Standing at the stove, Zack smiled over his shoulder.
Hey!
Nick sat at the counter, a file and paper spread in front of him. He greeted her without looking up. Sorry I'm late, she said, dropping her things. I blame it on the vortex that is Target. I ended up getting way more than I went in for, but I did find those shoe things you were looking for. Quiet. That's what it was. Even more so than usual. She knew they wouldn't be upset about dinner. Just because she usually cooked didn't mean they couldn't. They were grown men after all. What's up? Where's Hannah? Nick finally looked up, his eyes and face unreadable. There was a time both were so clear he didn't even need words. But now, anything he might feel for her was hidden behind a dark storm, which is what his face reminded her of, a storm that had settled, made itself at home, and refused to move on. Nick?
She went to bed,
he said, leveling his eyes hard on her.
She was already in bed when I got home.
Okay. There was obviously more.
Zack said she was exhausted from the outing you forced her on today. One that caused her complete and total freakout.
Zack slid a look at Nick.
That's not exactly what I said.
Mia looked from one man to the other. Zack dished up a bowl of spaghetti and excused himself, leaving the two of them.
I told you she wasn't ready,
Nick said. I thought she needed to push. That it was time for her to give it a try. Just to the grocery store. It might help if we encouraged her more. I was with her the whole time.
And she had a panic attack that left her exhausted. Do you still think you know what's best?
His tone was cutting, and clearly he wasn't asking. He was saying something.
How bad was it?
Not as bad as some, she said. Worse than others. I handled it.
Right.
He went back to his file. By handling it, she meant she'd gotten Hannah to a smaller space as soon as she could. When they were home, it was her closet. Today, it had been the car. It had taken a while, but Hannah had been able to get her breathing slowed and heart rate under control without drugs, which Mia considered a huge step forward. Nick obviously wasn't in the mood to hear anything positive. I'm sorry. I thought it would help. I made a mistake. I'll go check on her. Recovered from her surgeries enough to bathe and dress herself again, Hannah mostly ignored her presence. She didn't take it personally. If Hannah wasn't asleep, she'd read to her until she was. Mia returned to the kitchen to find Nick still sitting in the same place, intently focused on his files. Big case?
They're all big.
Right. Do you want a beer?
No.
Iced tea?
No.
She kept asking, kept knocking at his walls, a toothpick against 10 feet of concrete. How was your day?
Fine.
How's Carl? Did his wife have the baby yet?
No.
She dumped a bag of lettuce into a bowl and started slicing a cucumber. She chopped up carrots into small pieces the way they all liked them, cut cherry tomatoes in half, and added those. I researched that place Hannah's doctor told me about.
I said I didn't want to talk about it. Said it the last 5 times you brought it up.
And Hannah still sat in the dark, cried, barely ate, barely spoke. Nick.
I said no. Did you not hear me? Have you not seen her? She can barely leave the house and you want to send her off to strangers? Are you insane?
You're not listening to me, she said calmly.
I'm sick of listening to you. I'm fucking sick of listening to you every single day telling me she did this or that. Telling me she's getting better when she's not. Telling me every single day what you think we should do and how you think she's improving and how I should forget and move on. That's my sister in there. I was responsible for her. I was supposed to take care of her. Maybe you can forget. I can't.
He sighed, not looking at her. She knew he didn't mean it, told herself he didn't. She'd watched him bear the weight since he was 19, knew this about him. That he needed to control and protect, and how it ate at him when he couldn't. Understanding him didn't mean he couldn't hurt her. And slowly, little by little, she'd begun to withdraw behind a shield of her own. I know you, Nick, she said after a moment. I know you want what's best for her. But maybe she needs more help than you can give her. I think we should talk about it, together.
It's my decision. You're not her mom.
That was a slap. She wasn't Hannah's mother, but she was something, wasn't she?
You don't just send someone away because things get hard, Mia. To make your life easier. If you think I'd send her off alone, make her think I don't want her, you don't know me at all.
If you think I'd suggest this as a way to make my life easier, then you don't know me at all. It was a suggestion, she said. Something I think could be good for her, nothing more. Roughly, he gathered up his papers.
I'm not talking to you about this.
You're not talking to me about anything. This is hard for me, too, she added more softly. I was late picking her up. He didn't look up. I was late, and it's my fault. That's what you want to say, isn't it? She finally said it. That thing that was like black mold growing all around them.
I didn't say it.
But you think it. I know you do. I can see it in your eyes.
If you see something in my eyes, it's the memories of walking into that basement and finding...
He scrubbed his hands over his face again, and again she regretted saying anything. There were just times she felt like she couldn't breathe in their world of never saying anything. When was the last time they'd really talked? She couldn't even remember.
What do you want from me, Mia? What? I've got Hannah, work, you.
Me? I shouldn't be something you have to deal with, Nick. I should be someone that takes some of that load. I don't want to make things harder for you.
Then don't,
he said evenly, looking right at her. He wasn't emotional, wasn't yelling, didn't blurt it out like someone did without thinking. And another piece of her heart broke off and fell at his feet. What was happening to them? What could she say to make it better? She tried to breathe, willing herself to hold on, give him time to apologize or at least reassure. He did neither. She wondered if Nick had divided his life into before Hannah was taken and after. If there was a stark demarcation line, and if she sat solidly in his before. When she was finally able to speak, her own words sounded hollow and far away. Sad and weak, two things she'd never been with Nick. I'm not even sure you want me here anymore.
Of course I want you here.
He spit the words at her, like the suggestion was just one more annoying problem. No, I don't think you do. And I don't know how much longer I can be here feeling like you don't. His dark head was bowed, a pen still in his hand, but he wasn't writing. She wanted to cradle him against her, wished he would let it all out and let her hold him, let her love him. And that was another pain. Not just that she didn't feel like he loved her, but like he no longer wanted the love she would give him. Seconds passed, and he stood, grabbed his travel mug, his keys. He was leaving.
No!
She held up one shaking hand.
Don't go! Not this time!
It crossed her mind that all this time, maybe he hadn't been running to work to keep his mind busy but to get away from her.
You don't have to leave your own house. I'll go.
She turned and set the knife and cutting board in the sink. Her heart was pounding so hard, she laid a hand over her chest. For a minute, no one moved, and she was certain he'd come to her, say, I'm sorry, don't go. I haven't been myself. You know I love you. You know I need you. He didn't. With a slow and shaking hand, she reached for her keys on the counter. The blood rushed in her ears. And still, she waited, her feet refusing to move. The wall had been there, growing taller, thicker, higher. Then, in the biting silence, she heard the door in that wall close, the bolt slide through the lock with a reverberating finality. She wanted to scream against it, fight it. It wouldn't end like this. It wouldn't. Couldn't end at all. When she couldn't stand it any longer, she walked out the door, lightheaded, heartsick, ears straining to hear him coming after her, all the way to her car, telling herself this wasn't the end. Chapter 18. Present Day. 3 weeks after the fateful morning at Nick's, Mia walked into Norfolk's favorite pizza joint for a girl's lunch. She'd cried more over Nick Walker in the past 3 weeks than she had in the past 9 years. Nothing could catch up to the amount she'd done that first year without him. Heartbroken all over again, she lay in bed at night, reliving all the years they were together, slipping right back into the past like it was yesterday. All the time and energy she'd poured into getting over him now seemed worthless. That made her cry even harder. Would she never get over the man? What had she been thinking going over there, that she would get some kind of closure, that things were different? Had she been so desperate to see him, to touch him, that she had no damn sense of self-preservation? This lunch was a self-imposed outing. Mia was determined not to let Nick break her the way he'd done years ago. She slipped into the booth next to Hannah. Abby's tow-headed 4-year-old son Charlie sat in Hannah's lap, working on a coloring sheet. Abby's 5-year-old Gracie sat beside her, coloring, while she wrangled Mary, a darling 18-month-old with a head full of soft brown curls. Mia swallowed against the lump in her throat. Savannah would be almost 18 months now. Lizzie couldn't make it, Abby said, pulling Mary's fist and a crayon away from her mouth. One of her kids puked at art camp. Hannah stopped with her ice water halfway to her mouth.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Abby said.
He puked all over the table, and then more kids puked, Gracie announced, sounding inordinately happy about the whole affair.
Gracie, that's not table talk. So sorry, Abby added, speaking to them.
It's okay. No food yet, Mia said. And I have a strong stomach. Mia knew Hannah was making an effort to include her in lady lunch dates, and she appreciated it enough to make an effort to accept. It was the only capacity she'd seen Hannah in since the hospital. Despite Hannah's panic attack sparked by her past, it had been a step forward. Had spurred Hannah to share the details of her past with another person, a man she cared about and whom Mia believed cared about her. The young waitress returned, and she ordered a slice of her favorite. That was the best thing about this place, that you could order just a slice. While Abby ordered for the kids, Mia couldn't help but notice the small diamond winking on the waitress's left hand. A symbol of love and a promise made. She'd once had the love and the promise. She didn't feel cynical or think that their love wouldn't last just because hers hadn't. It was more a wistfulness, a reminder of what she'd lost. Charlie climbed from Hannah's lap into hers, his sweet arms circling her neck in a squeeze.
I'm sorry, Abby said. Just pass him back when it gets to be too much.
No, it's not too much. He's just a bundle of love.
He is, Abby agreed, smiling at her boy.
Mia nuzzled his head, breathing in the scent of his soft baby hair. The last couple of weeks hadn't been easy. Less than 12 hours with Nick, and she'd fallen right back into that heartbreaking place she'd never wanted to be again. She hadn't even realized how much she'd feared ever feeling that kind of pain again, until she did. And that was perhaps the real reason she'd avoided getting involved with anyone.
Such a ladies' man, Hannah said.
Mia closed her eyes and cuddled him close one more time before he pulled away and turned to get his crayons from his sister. They talked of family and birthday parties coming up and all the happenings that came with a large family. The bunk beds Matt was building in Jack's room and Hannah's long-term plans for a children's riding camp with cabins near her own.
Our men love a project, Abby said,
picking up Charlie's freshly delivered pizza to blow away some heat.
Keeps them happy even if they grumble a little.
Mia felt a pang at the phrase, our men. Both of the ladies here had a man who loved them and whom they loved back. Except for Hannah, they all had children added to the mix. She watched Abby, wiping and herding and holding. She'd wanted that. God, how she'd wanted that. With Nick. If not with Nick, then by herself. She hadn't spoken to him since she'd left his house, but she spent most of every day trying not to think about him. She couldn't decide if it hurt worse now that she'd seen him again. Maybe it had just brought everything to the surface, but the pain wasn't worse. It had hurt plenty before. Touching him again, holding him, being held. It had been such a mistake going to him, going to bed with him. But would she take it back if she could?
Stephen said you were okay with Gracie coming out on Saturday, Abby said to Hannah. But please, tell me if it's a problem.
It's not a problem, Gracie chimed in. Hannah says I'm the best 5-year-old rider she's ever seen.
Hannah smiled.
You're right, I did say that, and I wouldn't ever say it if it wasn't true. See, Mom? Gracie beamed.
Abby shook her head, smiling in wonder across at Hannah.
Stephen is a lucky man.
Hannah grinned sheepishly, studying the ice cubes in her soda.
I feel pretty lucky, too.
Mia was glad to see things going so well between Hannah and Stephen. There was a certain confidence that spoke of intimacy when she said Stephen's name.
Well, well, well.
A tall, dark, and incredibly handsome man stopped beside their table.
Look at all my favorite ladies in one place.
If Mia hadn't known right away who he belonged to, it wasn't hard to figure out by the way Abby's face lit up.
Daddy!
Gracie stood and leapt for him. Mary almost fell out of Abby's arms, getting to the man who caught Gracie with one arm, then took the baby with the other, as if he did it a million times a day.
Daddy!
Charlie stood, not to be left out.
Hey, bud!
Mia, this is Stephen's brother, Matt.
Hi,
he said, smiling.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Even with kids clinging to him, Matt leaned down and placed a sweet kiss on his wife's lips. It was more than the casual kiss of a man who'd seen his wife hours earlier and would see her again in a few more. A kiss full of love, followed by the kind of smile that said there was more to come.
He belongs to Abby, Hannah said.
Yes, I got that.
How are you feeling?
He asked Abby softly, though everyone heard. All female eyes were on the two of them. You couldn't help but be sucked in.
I'm fine.
He continued as if the rest of them were invisible. Mia figured they were. Matt was still focused on his wife.
Are you going home soon? I thought you were going to take a nap.
I will, straight after this.
Mary went for the sunglasses hanging on a lanyard around his neck.
He let Gracie slide onto the bench seat beside Mia so he could pick up Charlie before he climbed through the pizza to get to his dad.
I had pizza!
Gracie held up her half-eaten slice for Matt.
Nice! I'll keep these little rugrats occupied and pick up the big ones after school.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome. You can pay me back by taking that nap.
He kissed her once more, then gathered his charges and all the paraphernalia that came with them. A pink and white checked quilted bag hung on one thick arm, with Mary perched on the other. Nick would look like that, hot and confident and proud. They'd talked about the children they would have so many times she could see them, could practically hear them calling out, Daddy, and see Nick turn to them smiling, gathering them up in his muscled arms. He'd be happy, his soul eased, his guilt gone. She'd dreamed of that, prayed for that, but life hadn't followed.
He's not always like that,
Abby told her when Matt was gone. He's just a bit overprotective at the moment. We just found out we're having twins.
What? Wow!
Yep.
She picked up her water, and Mia didn't miss her other hand going protectively to her belly.
I just found out a few weeks ago.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. We wanted a houseful, and that's what we'll have.
You already have that. Hannah bit into her pizza.
Right, well, a fuller houseful then.
Abby was so happy she was beaming like her daughter had.
Well, you look great. Pregnancy obviously agrees with you.
Thank you.
Mia tried not to let herself think how much she wanted that.
I have a crib, if you need it. If you want to.
A hush fell over the table. Then Abby reached out and covered her hand.
Thank you. That's so generous.
Maybe, but it was time. And somehow, the catastrophe that being with Nick had been made moving forward that much more necessary. Nick prowled around Hannah's kitchen, helped himself to a bottle of water in the fridge. It was strange, this shift in their dynamics. For maybe the first time ever, he'd come to Hannah for himself instead of for her. Because after the disastrous morning after with Mia, he needed something. Hell if he knew what it was or how to ask for it.
So,
he said, twisting off the bottle top.
So,
Hannah countered his grumpy expression with a smile. He leaned back against Hannah's kitchen counter, feet and arms crossed.
Is he like your boyfriend now?
I think it's gone well past that, and you know it, so you can stop grumbling like a pissed-off bear. She grabbed a potholder and pulled the batch of brownies from the oven.
You could be friends, you know. You're a lot alike.
Don't make me ill.
He took a drink and watched her cover the hot brownies with foil.
Why does he get brownies?
Hannah laughed, her eyes so bright he almost wanted to buy the man a drink. Almost. She killed that thought when she grinned back at him, waggled her eyebrows.
You really want me to answer that?
He pinched his eyes closed.
God, no. You're being careful, right? I mean, you...
What?
She gaped at him, feigning shock, while her eyes danced with laughter.
Are you trying to talk to me about sex, Nick?
He opened his mouth, then closed it, running his fingers through his hair.
Could you maybe tell me real quick? Or, I know, let's call Zach and Luke, and you could sit us all down, make it a group lesson.
I'm pretty sure Zach knows,
Nick said, scowling.
Are you sure? You might want to explain the details, make sure we know where babies come from and all that.
Nick huffed.
Fine.
She patted his arm and grabbed a water for herself.
You're welcome to stay for dinner. Stephen says he doesn't blame you for hitting him. He said he would have done the same thing.
Nick grumbled under his breath. He'd punched McKinney the morning the man answered his sister's door, half-dressed and looking so damn pleased with himself. Not his finest moment, but McKinney had given back as good as he'd gotten, and they'd come to a certain understanding. "See? I told you you're a lot alike."
"We're not alike, damn it,"
he muttered. Hannah laughed. "He didn't like me saying that either, which just proves my point that you're..." He raised a hand.
"Don't say it. You think this is hilarious, don't you?"
"A little bit. I think the two of you are going to be best friends."
"That'll be a cold day in hell."
She laughed again, and he loved the sound of it. He'd never considered that she might be lonely for a male companion. He didn't want to think about that and his sister in the same time zone, let alone sentence. "Don't pout. I'll make you brownies next time. Mia brownies. Her recipe, remember?" He remembered. "Steven's coming at 6:30. We've got some time. Want to sit on the porch a bit?"
"Can I have a brownie?"
Hannah pursed her lips like she was considering it.
"Fine, forget it. Save all the brownies for McKinney."
"I'm kidding. Of course you can have one. Just not the center, that's Steven's favorite." He made a face at that, but took the brownie she offered and went outside. The setting sun shot thin streams of light through the pines that surrounded Hannah's woodland cabin. Mia brownies. He took a bite, and the soft chocolate settled in his gut like a rock. He wanted her, needed her, ached for her, and he had no idea how to make it work. Hannah leaned her head back while he pushed them in a gentle rhythm. She'd always loved to swing, to rock, maybe because their mother had rocked her so much as an infant.
"You still like living out here?"
"I do. The wide open spaces of wild grass and the shade of trees, the scents of animals and saddle leather. It comforts me. Like I'm guessing the scent of stale coffee and mountains of files comfort you. I hope they comfort you," she added, and he felt her looking at him.
"You forgot the day-old cheeseburger."
"Please tell me you didn't eat it." He didn't answer and stuffed the rest of the brownie in his mouth. "You've been the keeper of us all for so long. I think you're the one who needs a keeper."
"I'm keeping myself just fine,"
he lied, stretching his arm over the back of the swing. To say he hadn't handled things well with Mia would be a colossal understatement. He'd hurt her, again. Made her cry, again. He'd spoken everything that was on his mind and nothing that was on his heart. He'd watched her walk away for the second time and done nothing to stop it. He hadn't forgotten the pain in her eyes, the trembling of her lips as she fought not to cry in front of him. There was no doubt in his mind it was his fault, then and now. Regret had settled over and into him until it was a part of who he was. Worse than guilt, which you could rationalize away if something hadn't been your doing. But regret. That was harder because there were always choices, every minute of every day. Every step and turn led to an outcome that might have been different. And when your choices led to tragedy, then you'd cut off a limb to change even one of those steps. "Am I the reason you haven't settled down, had kids of your own?" Nick jerked his gaze to his sister, trying to bring his brain up to speed.
"What?"
I've wondered if maybe you had to take care of me, if that was the reason. For all of you, but mostly you. You gave up so much."
"I didn't give up anything."
"Nick, you know that's not true."
"I loved you. It didn't feel like I was giving up anything."
"You were always there," she said with all seriousness. "I don't ever remember a time that you weren't there." Except for those 42 days of which they did not speak. "You were so young," she said, looking up into the swaying trees.
"I didn't feel that young." Even before they died, Mom always said I was too serious. Even as a little boy, she'd say, Nick, you're an old soul.
Maybe that's true. Classic firstborn. But still, you wouldn't have been so stuck if not for me. You could have let someone else take me. He squeezed her shoulders.
Never. Though I wondered a million times if maybe I should have.
Because even though it would have broken his heart, he would do anything to spare her the pain she'd endured, if he could go back. But he couldn't.
I'm glad you didn't. I don't remember much, but I remember being scared. And I remember you holding me, rocking me. Did you sing?
She looked at him with big golden eyes that were exactly the same as they'd been when she was two.
I think I remember you singing.
Maybe. Once or twice.
It had been almost every night. Then later, it had been Mia. So many memories wrapped up in Mia. In that one woman who was so deep inside him, she flowed in his blood.
What was it that you sang? Something about a rabbit.
Buckeye rabbit soup. Something Mom used to sing to me. And you, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, she said wistfully, and stared out at the woods like she was hearing the tune. I don't remember her singing it. Just you.
And don't forget the bear song. Will you sing it?
Not for $1,000,000.
She laughed, and they rocked in silence, listening to the creaking, to the birds before she spoke again.
If it wasn't that, then what?
He pulled back to look at her.
What are you trying to do, marry me off?
No. Yes. Maybe. I just wonder why. You're a great brother. You're not entirely ugly. That earned her a tug on her hair.
You were such a good father to me. I think you'd make a great father. I try to imagine what it was like for all of you, a house of teenage guys and a little girl.
We mostly didn't know what to do with a girl. When you were older, we'd bribe you out of having birthday parties. The sound you all made when you were in a pack was just otherworldly.
He shivered.
I feel kind of bad about it now.
What? You didn't think I liked going to Hooters for wings and cheese sticks?
That only happened once.
She smiled. I know. I felt so grown up. It was good. Made this nerd cool for a day or so. Hey, she covered his hand.
I had a good childhood. Great, in fact.
You even learned to braid hair. He nodded.
Mia taught me.
And he'd practiced on Mia's hair for hours. He so enjoyed running his fingers through the silkiness, it usually ended with the two of them naked.
She was your one, Hannah said softly. I think she still is.
He couldn't deny it. Didn't even want to. He didn't regret their night, had relived every second of it again and again. But if he could take back his words the morning after, if he could go back and do it over, when was he ever going to stop needing to do things over? He gave new meaning to the phrase, you hurt the ones closest to you. Mia had been like a piece of his heart, and he'd hated himself so. Did it ever occur to you that you both might be single for a reason? He didn't answer. He didn't know why Mia hadn't married. As for him, he'd never even considered it. If it wasn't having to raise your sister, was it because of what happened? Later? God, he didn't want to talk about that with her.
Nick,
she looked at him, pleading.
Are you going to spend the rest of your life looking back, wishing for the impossible? If you do, you're wasting the life God gave you. I can't stop you from it, but I also won't stay stuck with you. It doesn't help me for you to blame yourself. You know, if you have to blame someone for what happened, you can start with me.
No, you don't blame yourself, ever.
Why not? It started with my decision, didn't it? But it's not about blame. It's more about forgiveness. She turned to face him and touched his arm. Forgiving yourself is the hardest part, but I've learned it's the most important.
You don't have anything to forgive.
Just listen to me. For once, listen to your little sister. I need you to let it go. He knew she was right. Knew if he wanted a chance with Mia, he had to figure out a way. He was terrified he didn't know how to do that. That the guilt was so deeply embedded inside him, he'd never shake it. Until now, he hadn't really wanted to. A moment passed before Hannah spoke again. You still love her, she said softly. His chest expanded painfully with a deep breath. He didn't have the energy or the will to deny it.
I never stopped. What? Don't look so shocked. I can be honest about my feelings.
Hannah gave him a soft smile that turned serious. I love you both, but...
But what?
But maybe... And it hurts me to say this, but... I haven't known about the baby she adopted for very long. She didn't talk about it with me, but... She's hurting, Nick. I don't think either of us knows how much. I don't want her to hurt even more. God, neither did he. I'm not saying you are or you will, I just...
No, I get it.
Mia was like the limb he'd cut off, unable to forgive himself, unable to be happy. And what good was it doing anyone? I'm sorry. Now I feel like I shouldn't have said anything.
Don't worry.
He kissed the top of her head and stood.
I'll take care of Mia.
Chapter 19. It was nearly August when Mia went to her pantry and got out the toolbox, the same small black container her father had sent her off to college with. A screwdriver in one hand, an Allen wrench in the other, she moved down the hall and stopped in the open doorway of Savannah's nursery. No, not a nursery. She needed to stop thinking of it that way. She'd meant what she said to Abby. She wanted her to have the crib. Better for it to be used by someone who needed it. If it had taken her this long to get around to it, that was only because she'd been busy. She scowled at her own lie, standing in the doorway, taking in the room. Even though she had to pass it several times a day, she hadn't gone inside in over a week. She'd looked, but hadn't entered. She knew she was building it up, making it harder, as if the space held a sadness that had the power to strangle her. She took one step, a few more, and knelt beside the crib. Her heart was breaking all over again. Her gaze traced over the lines of beautiful brown wood, the bar that lowered with springs underneath, and the base that held the mattress. She tried to remember the order of putting it together so she could reverse the action. It seemed like a bigger task now that she was on the floor, tools in hand. As she fought to loosen the screws, Nick and what ifs assaulted her. What if it was their house, their nursery? Not like she hadn't imagined that 100 times in the years they were together, but it was always in the future. She'd needed to accomplish something, become a surgeon, make her parents proud. Now her parents were dead and gone. And what difference did it make? She and Nick hadn't had as much time as they'd thought they would. A life lesson, she supposed. There were no guarantees. Savor the moment, she whispered, then huffed at the hollow-sounding words from a woman with enough regret to fill an ocean. 10 years ago, she'd tried to convince herself that what she'd felt for Nick was too big, too deep to be healthy. The way her heart had squeezed almost painfully when he smiled at her with those brooding brown eyes. She'd become too dependent on him. The way he looked at her after a day at the hospital and just knew that she'd lost a patient. The way he'd pull her into his arms and within minutes of being held by Nick, she'd feel better. She'd feel right again. She'd gone from a girl feeling her first love to a woman who'd melded every part of herself to a man. And then he was gone. She'd been lost after that. Losing him and the way they had broken had almost killed her. It hadn't been a sudden death, more like a terminal illness. Slow, painful. He'd been her world, and she'd been his. Though the years since had shaken her certainty on that. Maybe it had somehow been over for him even before Hannah went missing. She tried to think back, to remember every detail. She must have missed something. What had been said that last morning before everything fell apart? Or not said? Had he been pulling away before that? She knew what the loss of a child did to parents, how it could draw them closer together or tear them apart. And she'd lived it. That was what had driven her to become a therapist specializing in grief. Still, the knowing didn't help the pain. After she'd gotten herself together, stopped watching for Nick to come after her, stopped diving for her phone every time it made a sound, she'd worked hard to get over him. Tried in vain to convince herself what they'd had hadn't been real, telling herself they were just a couple that had only stayed together because it was easier than breaking up. A young love divided by years apart. She didn't believe it, not really, but sometimes it helped to pretend. She worked one screw loose with the Allen wrench, then started on the other side, stretching her leg out to hold the bar with her foot so it wouldn't hang. She tried using the screwdriver to remove the brackets that held the mattress in place, but she couldn't get a good angle. She used more force, but the bed was on wheels and scooted away. She moved it up against the wall for leverage, pushing the screwdriver with all her might, and turned. No one could say she hadn't done a stellar job putting the thing together. The screwdriver slipped again, stripping the head even more. The more she couldn't get it done, the more she wanted to, needed to. Angry, frustrated tears filled her eyes, making the task a blur. She'd finally worked herself up to this point, and now she couldn't even get the damn thing apart. That was how Nick found her, crouched on the floor, dark hair hiding her face. But he could hear her shuddery breathing, could see her small hands furiously working a screwdriver against the side of a baby crib.
Mia?
Her head jerked up, tear-filled eyes met his. His heart broke right there. In that moment, he would have given her anything, done anything. Whatever it took, whatever he had to do to fix himself, he'd do it. Whatever she needed so that she would love him again.
I knocked. The door was unlocked.
He didn't have the heart to scold her for that at the moment.
It was?
She quickly wiped her face with the back of her hand and turned to face the crib.
I must have forgotten.
It was clear she was struggling with the tools, and when he knelt beside her,